What's going on, Titans? Welcome back to another episode of Daily Titan Podcast, or DT Pod for short. I'm one of your hosts, Kabir Kansara, your assistant lifestyle editor, and I'm joined with
Jaden Lovelady, the lifestyle editor and other co-host of the podcast.
And today we'll be going over volume 116, issue number 15 of the Daily Titan student newspaper. In today's episode, we're going to be going over a couple stories, including men's and women's basketball games, an election update. We'll also be talking about an art exhibit, as well as an opinion on rethinking stress. Stay tuned for the episode. Jaden, I've been hearing twice as many rumors this week.
No way, because I've actually been hearing double.
Really?
Truly. In the streets, I've been hearing double.
It's almost like there's twice as many rumors for twice the amount of guests.
So how many would that be?
Almost like there's two of them.
Two of them? Who?
I believe Emily Wilson, our editor-in-chief, and Sergio Gonzalez, our sports editor slash makeshift sports correspondent.
I believe I know them.
I think they're sitting right across from us, actually.
I think you guys are correct.
Yeah, I think we are.
Confirmed.
No way.
What?
Yeah. What?
This is crazy. This
why
is
are you
crazy.
Here? Why double trouble today?
I don't know.
Double trouble?
Yeah, why?
Let's talk about basketball.
Men's or women's?
Men's and women's.
Ooh, okay, bet.
Double the stories,
double
too.
Yeah. What?
Two people on the pod to talk about two different sports.
This is crazy.
This is
That's
crazy.
Actually going to be the same sport, but two different games.
Two different teams.
Teams.
Okay. Actually, the same team. They're both the Titans. But
true.
What happened with these games, starting with the women's game? What happened with that? What's up with that?
A whole bunch of losses.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
What was the most recent
both
one?
Both teams.
I love this theme that we have going on, like, every week.
Both lost on Saturday, both lost on Thursday. Right. You got a little bit familiar with it.
You know what? Shout out Titans.
Did they play the same teams in both games, or was it?
Yes.
Okay.
Both teams played UC Riverside on Saturday, and then they played Long Beach on Thursday.
Okay, so that was the Beat the Beach games.
It was.
You want to talk about those? Emily, you want to talk about those?
Yeah, unfortunately, we did not beat the beach.
I saw on the Instagram, Titans embarrassed by Long Beach.
You know what, though? I can imagine being at that game watching. Like, I saw the final score, and I can imagine being at the game watching it happen live and being like, dang, this is really my school.
You know, me and Emily were both
my
at
team.
The game.
Yeah.
We both left the gym embarrassed.
Like, I'm embarrassed, too, and I wasn't even there.
Because it's
but
okay, Cal State Fullerton and Long Beach, they both have had, they don't have a lot of returners. There are only three people on Long Beach who were on the roster last year, and they all ride the end of the bench. So Long Beach is coming in with basically a new team. They're also, 1-8 or something like that to start the season. So, they hadn't done pretty well. Our Cal State Fullerton was, 2-7 or something like that. So, it's, we didn't have a good record either, but,
And we have, our fair share of returners, too.
Yeah.
Not a complete new roster like Long Beach. So.
Yeah. And they've been putting together, they haven't won a whole lot, but they've been playing a lot of hard opponents. So, you would think the environment of, the Beat the Beach game, which is, respectfully, the one game a year where students actually pull up. to have that, be ended in, a blowout. I was embarrassed.
There were 2,500 people in that little gym.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't go to this year's Beat the Beach game, but you can guarantee I likely won't go next year if this is the attitude they're going to keep up.
Yeah, because you have all your, fans there, students who, are looking for a reason to care, and you put up a stinker.
There were
good moments. Granted, there were some,
they
could have
capitalized.
I saw some dunks. I saw some dunks on the Instagram page.
There was a little, scuffle between Kendrick DeLuna and one of the Long Beach players. So there was energy in there. They just couldn't capitalize on it.
Yeah, how was the women's game?
UC Riverside or Long Beach?
Long Beach.
Closer. They were on the road. They lost by 11.
Okay.
Yeah. They are 0-9 now. Start the year.
Were there any takeaways from that game?
Elias Stanton had a collegiate career high. 21 points. Which 21 in college is
low-key,
yeah.
I think that's actually the high for both men's and women's teams.
Oh,
year,
sick.
So. Riverside was close.
On both men's and women's teams, or just...
One, yes, actually.
Oh, okay.
Obviously, both lost.
Can I ask, do they play, both women's and men's, they played the same school on the same days? Is it always like that?
For conference and basketball, yes.
Oh.
And then it's, one's at home, the other's on the road over there. I believe that is the case most of the time.
Yeah, I think it's for conference. And then for, non-conference stuff, it's, wherever they go or
that
wherever they host.
That is actually interesting. I did not know that they, went together, the men and women's teams.
Yeah.
That's so cute. They're there to cheer each other on.
They're in, different locations, though, because one of them is in Fullerton.
But,
one of them is in Riverside.
In their heart and soul, they know that they're playing at the same time.
They're
true.
Also
you know
playing, on Saturday, men's are on the road against the Highlanders.
Mm-hmm.
Here, they're also playing the Highlanders.
What? No freaking way.
I know. And that's they're crazy. Both the Titans.
And they both lost.
Crazy. Mm.
They're just so locked in.
They're too like locked in. Yeah, they're too locked in.
Yeah, it's also an interesting time for, like, the basketball teams because they played two conference games and then they're back to non-conference for another, like, 4 or 5 games, I think.
And this is, like, the first time they've done that.
Yeah. Right?
But this is a good time for them to, like, find their rhythm outside of the conference before they go back in.
Yeah. They each have, like, over 3 weeks.
Okay, okay.
Wow. So they got plenty of time.
That's a good chunk of time, actually.
Yeah. I think it's good they got a little taste because now they can have things, like, to work on.
Right.
Yeah. For the next game so Low-key, they can get better at before, good. Like, the real conference stretch starts.
Yeah. It's kind of good that it's set up like that because people will know, like, exactly what to fine-tune on the time off, I guess. Or not time off, but, like, before the next conference.
Like, when the men's basketball team goes to Long Beach in the spring and plays Long Beach, hopefully they have put forth a better effort. And
Hopefully they It'll be, like, Beat the Beach Part 2 in spirit.
Yes.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
That same day, women's will have their Beat the Beach game at Fullerton.
Because I actually just learned that they play the same school at the same time. Yeah. So, yes, they will.
Yes.
I can confirm.
Shout out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think, like, addressing the headline, I think all of us want Cal State Fullerton basketball to be good.
Yeah.
But it's
I would agree.
And it's been good before.
Yeah.
We made the tournament, like, on the men's side a couple times.
We played
times
Duke, like, not that long ago.
Yeah. We made it in 2022 for the men's, and then... The year after that,
I think, too.
And then the year after that, 2023, I guess, we were in the Big West Championship game, but then we lost.
One game away, pretty
much. Yeah, so if we had won that, we would have made the tournament again.
I mean, like, me personally, I would like to stop being embarrassed by the school. So, like, yeah.
Yeah, and the only reason you say embarrassed is because you know they can do better.
Yeah.
If we were expecting a performance like that, then it would have been a lot, like, less.
It wouldn't have been embarrassed.
Yeah.
In other sports news, Emily, how did you feel about Nikola Jokic's 56 points in a loss to the Wizards?
I felt like he has scored 104 points in 2 games and the record is 1-1. And that is all I'll say. Actually, no. Let me say one more thing. Jokic is the GOAT. He's my GOAT. He saved my franchise.
Wow.
Like, how are the Lakers doing?
All right, guys. So,
yeah. Anyways, I think your guys' time is up, actually.
I think it is, actually.
Oh, on that note.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.
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 Hey, Titans. This is Mecca Obatue, assistant copy editor for Daily Titan. Applications for editorial positions are open for next semester, so check them out at dailytitan.com. Look out for a holiday issue next week, and happy holidays.
Jaden, there's even more rumors in the town.
Even more? This is the most rumors we've ever had on
the podcast. It's getting, like, hectic in
town. It's getting ridiculous. Okay.
I'm hearing that Ruben Montoya, our managing editor, is in the building now.
No freaking way, because that would be the second exec on pod today.
That's insane.
I don't know who told you guys that, honestly.
Wait, is he here, like, right now? Did you hear that?
I think he is.
Ruben, is that you?
Allegedly.
Allegedly?
Yeah, allegedly.
What are you here to talk about?
Well, I'm here to just give an update on the election in Fullerton City Council District 4.
Awesome. Please update away. What's going on with that?
Well, as has been previously discussed, the election District 4 is notable, I guess. It is, I mean, there were 4 candidates there, one of whom was, they pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor on election crimes. But all of that aside, there has been a winner announced, and that is registered nurse Jamie Valencia.
Awesome. Wow. Sick. So do you know what platform she ran on when she was running for this election?
Yeah, so when she ran just generally on, you know, improving the infrastructure in the city.
Did she run on a party?
No, it was nonpartisan.
Okay.
Oh, wow, that's
well,
cool.
Her campaign was. Her opponents were, so what was it? So Linda Whitaker was the wife of the incumbent who was termed out. Bruce Whitaker, who is a Republican. And then there was Scott Markowitz, the previously mentioned guy who pleaded guilty. He, like, in his campaign disclosures, he ran on basically a MAGA platform, although that was basically all that was there. and nothing further than like one campaign statement he made. And then there was Vivian Kitty Jaramillo, who was endorsed by local Democrats.
Right. Mm. That's interesting to see that, like, the nonpartisan one, then. Because I feel like you don't see that oftentimes, like, especially now.
Yeah.
Because everything is so, like,
parties, yeah.
I mean, it's always been different in local politics, but it is, like, at least refreshing to see the community that I live in, like, also fall into, like, supporting nonpartisan and, like, supporting the person over the party.
Yeah. It's definitely interesting in how the dynamic will play out on sort of like a voting basis within the city council. So prior to Valencia winning, there was a majority, a de facto majority, I should say, with Nick Dunlap, the mayor, Fred Jung, both of them who got elected, and then Bruce Whitaker and Ahmad Zara of District 5 and Shauna Charles of District 3, which is where our campus is, that's our district. Though the latter two were a more liberal-oriented sort of opposition to the majority. And with Valencia in the picture now, it throws in sort of a new twist. I should also note that the Dunlap, Jung, and Whitaker majority was, I said de facto, because at times Jung would sort of deviate from the positions of Dunlap and Whitaker. Dunlap and Whitaker were both conservative Republicans, and Jung, I believe, was a registered Democrat. Although, they tended to vote together on many policies, but one notable one where they deviated on was the walk on Wilshire back like a couple months ago, where Jung voted with Zara and Charles. Although that's also sort of flip-flopping.
And was that, like, for or against Walk on Wilshire?
It was for at the time. However, I say flip-flopping because after the initial vote to sort of extend Walk on Wilshire, the story written by Isaiah Malari, our beautiful digital managing editor, after that, then Jung kind of went sort of backtracked on his position. All that to say, there's just, it's not as simple as like a locked in majority with them. So with Valencia in the picture now, it'll be interesting to see. And then also note too, she was endorsed by the Fullerton Police Officers Association and the Fullerton Firefighters Local 343, and also received a donation from Jung. So I guess, yeah, it remains to be seen how that new dynamic plays out with her in the picture now. Will she sort of be a like centrist vote? Will she, you know, or will she more follow in the footsteps of the majority?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You have any other updates for us on the election?
Well, on that, I should just like sort of note that it was a pretty tight election. Even in city council terms, because city council elections just tend to have way lower turnout. But still, Valencia won by just over half a point. She won with 36.04%, while Vivian Kitty Jaramillo was in second with 35.49% of the vote. So that's a really, really, really tight margin.
Yeah.
And, with the field of four, I guess it was expected because, you know, the vote is split among four candidates. Although it is notable because, yeah, Jaramillo had pretty substantial backing while Valencia's a political newcomer.
All right. I mean, in other news, we had our own DT Pod election update. Do you want to let them know?
Yeah, so sadly, Ruben, you got voted out of office. You're going to have to go now. Bye.
Is that so?
I fear we have to talk about the other stories.
All right. I will be going into exile. The location is undisclosed, so okay. I'll see y'all later.
You better hope it stays that way.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Rocking on over to our lifestyle desk, we're going to be talking about a current art exhibit at the Fullerton Museum Center featuring artwork by June Wayne.
This was actually written by Catherine Habibi, our current opinion assistant, which, hey, shout out First Lifestyle Story.
It was great.
I love when the people from other desks, like, ask me to write for Lifestyle, because I'm like, yes.
Please.
Yes, I'm bringing people into the regime. Anyway, June Wayne is a 20th century artist who focused a lot on lithography, which is, like, an intensive printing process, which is, like, basically meant to smooth, like, plate of stone type and, like, chemically imprint onto the pressed page. So it's, like, rocks, basically.
Yeah.
But, you know, broken down.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, this exhibit was actually really cool. After I got the story from her, like, before it, like, obviously got to my assistants to be edited and stuff like that, I was already in downtown Fullerton, so I, like, saw this exhibit.
Oh, word.
And it was, like, actually really cool. So, hey, recommend. But... yeah.
The work itself focused a lot on, like, weaving science into the artwork and, like, discoveries that were considered groundbreaking at the time when June Wayne was creating the art. So a lot of it features, like, groundbreaking discoveries that to us nowadays are common knowledge. But it's cool to see how she wove her perspective with the scientific discoveries into her artwork.
Her grand tapestry on Vera, which is actually French for we'll see, is being shown exclusively to the public for the first time by Fullerton Museum Center.
I thought it was really cool how the article mentioned that June Wayne's work with lithography kind of brought the art form back into prominence, because it mentioned how she worked in California with other lithographers at a workshop to kind of create more pieces and to really revive the art form.
Yeah, I think it was really cool how the head curator of the museum, she mentioned how she doesn't really give you, like, a very extensive view into, like, scientific discoveries or anything crazy like that, but rather, like, a really poetic way of viewing it, yeah, in her words, which I thought was really beautiful. And, like, you know, like, that's the point of art, is to make the boring beautiful. Not the point, but that is often people's, like, initiative, yeah, with it.
It's so, like, it was a different perspective on,
yeah,
what
for
is.
Sure. So it's definitely cool to see, like, stuff of the natural world be brought into such a beautiful stage, I guess.
Yeah.
You know what, guys? We've actually this whole time been really stressed about this, about just all of the segments we have to do on this show.
It's so much.
However, comma, upon reading the newest opinion piece by Madison Livingston, the opinion assistant, I find that, you know, maybe we're just using the improper language.
Yeah, I think our terminology could be a lot better. I really enjoyed, not to spoil the story, but I liked the ending a lot, where they talked about different synonyms that could be used to describe real life, like, feelings of stress that are, like, not as big as stress is. Because stress, yeah, is a very loosely used term. And I feel like a lot of times we use stress to describe very small things that are going on for ourselves.
Yeah.
Like, just the one class that we have is, like, are you stressed or are you just, like, unprepared for that class? And that's, like, yeah, a big thing that the story brought up, especially towards the end, using words like unprepared or, like, swamped to better and more accurately describe how we feel about something rather than just saying we're stressed about it.
Yeah, especially when, like, I think it was interesting, like, the overarching point of the opinion is that, like, we overuse the word stress and anxiety and stuff like that so much that it devalues the literal feeling that people get.
Yeah.
Like, because a lot of the time when we say, like, we're stressed, even saying, like, we are stressed, it's implying that, like, stress is a part of you and how you're acting and feeling in that sense, when in a lot of other languages it translates to more of, like, we have stress, or, right, like, I'm feeling stressed, not exactly like, oh, I am stressed, because it's not a part of you at the end of, right, the day. And all, like, as you were saying, a lot of the times it's not even, like, true stress. It's just, like, you could be overwhelmed or, like, underprepared, like you said. And it's, like, a lot about the language that we use, like, it all subconsciously and consciously just plays into the way that we perceive things. So if we continuously, like, dig ourselves deeper into this hole of using, like, I'm depressed, I'm anxious, I'm stressed, like, when we're not, it just devalues people who really do experience those things while furthering ourselves into thinking we do, making ourselves worse.
Right.
So it really is just a cycle. And I think it was a really good, I think it's a really good story and a really good thing to bring up that, like, it is our language and, like, yeah, there should be alternatives to using the word stress.
Yeah. In a way, it's kind of like the whole, like, you are what you eat. Like, you are how you speak of yourself.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah,
if you say, like, oh, I'm stressed, you're going to feel that way because you're just digging yourself deeper into that feeling.
All right, guys, to be completely honest with you, like, I'm just kind of tired of talking, I think. And Kabir's honestly so tired, he already left the building. So I think that's going to wrap it up for this episode of DT Pod. Be sure to pick up a copy of Daily Titan on campus or in downtown Fullerton, and check us out at dailytitan.com to read more articles than the ones mentioned and in print. So thank you all for listening. And if you like us, as always, we love you. And also, good luck on finals, Titans.
So Jaden's out here spreading rumors about me. She tried to call security, get me kicked out the building, but I actually had to sneak my way back in here just so I could tell you how thankful I am to the whole team we have here at DZ Pod for making this whole thing happen. So first of all, I want to give a special thank you to our executive producers, Isaiah Malari and Emily Wilson. I also want to give a proper thank you to our producer, Luis Vizcaino. Both of our assistant producers, Randall Sanchez and Michelle King, also get some thanks. Also want to give a thank you to Bijan Schuster-Risade for the banger outro music we got going on these episodes. And I also want to thank all of you guys for listening and tuning into the podcast week in and week out. Good luck on finals, and we'll catch y'all in the next episode. Peace out, Titans.